This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. نستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعله عوجا الحمد لله رب العالمين All praises be to Allah Allah Ta'ala has blessed us in myriad ways It's incumbent upon us to understand and to appreciate the magnitudes of the blessings Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us In terms of the magnitudes of the blessing of Islam in this world is so great that it suffices us all other blessings. If we have Islam, if we leave this world with faith in our heart, and we left it with no house, no car, homeless person, no car, poor health, you name it, then we've been blessed. We've been blessed. As Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, harram Allah wajha, is related to have said, Inna min na'im al-dunya, an yakfiyaka al-Islam ni'matan. From the blessings of this world, Islam suffices as a blessing. Conversely, if we had the best of health, the best of spouses, the best of children, the best of homes, the best of gardens, the best of cars, the best of condos and yachts and chateaus and food and drink and everything that the world could bestow upon us, but we left this world without faith in our hearts, then how have we been blessed? How have we been blessed? And we had authority, power, influence. How have we been blessed? If we're heading towards a day, where the human being will proclaim in the presence of his or her Lord, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةً هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَةً خُذُوهُ فَغُرُّوا ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةً ذَرْهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوا We're heading towards the day where no amount of status, influence, wealth, no authority, and those people who had all the authority, and all the influence, all of the status, and all of the blessings that the world could bestow upon them, they had no faith. And then it said, seize him, strangle him. Then they can fuel for the hellfire. ثم الجحيم صلوا. What did it benefit us? Our dear brothers and sisters, as we know, our country is facing a crisis of deadly proportions. The great historian Arnold Toynbee mentioned in a chapter of his book, Civilization on Trial, there's a chapter entitled Islam, the West, and the Future, where it discusses Islam's ability to help alleviate the race problem that is afflicting Western societies, particularly here in the United States. This is a nagging problem. Its roots predate the country. The Constitution, where the African slave was reckoned for representational purposes, three-fifths of a human being, three-fifths of a man. Less than a century after that, the country was torn apart by a civil war whose roots were in slavery, whose roots were in the racial issue. Less than half a century after that, the great African-American sociologist W.E.B. Du Bois mentioned that the problem of the 20th century in America will be the problem of the color line. Half a century after that, the issue was still unresolved, as made clear to us in the monumental Brown versus the Board of Education decision, Little Rock, Arkansas, that separate is not equal. Less than a decade after that, it manifested itself in the race riots that saw North Hartford burning, Philadelphia, Newark, New Jersey, large swaths of Detroit, Michigan, Cleveland, Ohio, Washington, D.C., Southeast Washington, D.C., Watts in California, from one end of the country to the other. Riots which were described as race riots are burning down cities in our country. Less than half a century after that, it manifested itself again in the implement or the initiation of the new Jim Crow, mass incarceration targeting primarily African-American youth, Latino youth, with precision targeting what one presidential candidate referred to as the dehumanizing language of super predators. And then it manifests itself less than 25 years after that, when a presidential candidate opens his campaign with a racist slur against Mexicans and ushers in the mainstreaming of white supremacist ideology, including the wretched, pathetic idea of the Great Replacement. Wretched because who's replacing whom? So our large and significant numbers of Euro-Americans being replaced by native people, whom they came into the land of the natives, massacred them and slaughtered them in one of the most comprehensive and extensive genocidal campaigns in human history, owing to the ravages of smallpox, in many instances consciously and purposefully introduced into their communities? Are they doing the replacement? Are they being replaced as the poor, wretched soul who went into a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and slaughtered 10 elderly African-American individuals, primarily elderly, and a younger policeman, off-duty policeman? Are they being replaced by the former African slaves who they went and displaced from Africa to begin with? Are they being displaced by the Mexicans who are descendants of the native people in the western part of this country, who reside in an area of the country that was once part of Mexico? Leave the country, leave Mexico, and you don't have to worry about being displaced by those Latino individuals. Who's doing the displacing? This is a wretched, pathetic series, a pathetic theory. And Muslims should be in the forefront of calling it for what it is, if we're true to our religion. This is what we want to spend the balance of the time discussing,
are introducing, because it's a vast topic, the idea of Islamic anti-racism. We have left-wing progressive anti-racism, which generally only exacerbates the problem with equally pathetic arguments, like telling some poor coal mining family, white coal mining family in Appalachia, whose father died at the age of 50 from black lung disease. And now the mother is strung out on the opiates that were prescribed for the father for the pain in his back from bending over in coal shafts, getting the black lung disease. And when he died, the mother just kept the opiate prescription. Now she's strung out on opiates. And the son died in Iraq because the only economic opportunity he had was the war machine or Walmart. And he chose the war machine. And now he's dead. And the daughter's an alcoholic with two illegitimate children. And then this ideology of progressive anti-racism telling them they're enjoying white privilege. You think that's going to heal the problem? That's going to make the problem worse. Because somebody's going to come to them and tell them white lives matter. And they're going to eat it up. And the problem's going to get worse. This is not an Islamic solution. Islamic anti-racism starts with the premise that this is a spiritual disease. And how could it not be a spiritual disease when the first racist is Satan? White supremacy, racial supremacy. You have black supremacist ideology. Racial supremacy. Declaring yourself to be superior based on a physical characteristic, then that makes Shaitan the first racist. When Allah Ta'ala asks rhetorically, because Allah knows the answer, man ma mana'aka alla tasjuda idh amartu. Why didn't you prostrate yourself to Adam? Prostration of honor, not ibadah. Sajjatu tashrif wa la sajjatu ibadah. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. It's a supremacy. I'm better than him. Based on what? A moral characteristic? I never tell lies. Adam tells lies. I'm morally superior. No. Based on superior character, I assist people and help people. No. Based on a physical characteristic, and a khayrun minhu, khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtuhu min teen. You created me from this physical substance that has a physical characteristic called fire. And you created him from this physical stuff that has physical characteristics called clay. And Allah Ta'ala informed us in the Quran that the clay was black clay. Shaitan was the first racist. And that being the case, this is as Arnold Toynbee, the great historian, described it in that chapter, Islam, the West, and the Future, as a spiritual disease. And spiritual diseases are only amenable to spiritual cures. And it's our responsibility to be the ones who introduce that cure. It's our responsibility to glorify, to extol, and to inform people of our common heritage. Kullukum min Adam, wa Adam min turab. You're all from Adam, and Adam is from the clay. The races claim different origins. You see in some of their books, they have the Africans descended from monkeys, and they have pictures with these mythical creatures with tails and all of this nonsense. It's our responsibility as Muslims to tell the world, to tell this country, all of us are the children of Adam, alayhi salam. We all descend from a common parentage. We are all, at the end of the day, Bani Adam, the children of Adam. And there's no difference between the white children and the brown children, the black children or the yellow children. There are no differences except in character. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن إكرامكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. Oh humanity, not just the Muslims, not the Christians, humanity, we have created you all from a single parentage, from a single pair of male and female, and we've made you into nations and tribes that you might recognize the ta'arufu, reciprocity, that you might recognize in each other the creative power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create all of this difference from a single pair, to create all of these hair textures, all of these eye colors, all of these physical distinctions from a single pair. We are reminders to each other of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not the glory that's inherent to any particular member or branch of the human family. That distinction only comes through those who are superior in their commitment to that Lord who has created them from that single pair. In akramakum indallah, the most noble of you with Allah is the one who is most conscious of Allah. In akramakum indallah. When this verse is commented on, usually the mufassir, the commentator, the exegete will bring a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is the following, which is a sound hadith, sahih. Inna Allah la yanzu ila suwarikum wa amwalikum walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. That Allah doesn't look at your physical form. Allah doesn't care who's black or white, brown or yellow, red. If there were polka dot people, Allah doesn't care less. In Allah, tall or short, thick hair or thin hair, blue eyes or black eyes or green eyes. Allah doesn't care about any of that. In Allah, la yanzuru ila suwarikum. And Allah doesn't look at your wealth. And these are the two most prevalent bases of discrimination and bigotry amongst human beings: race and wealth. Wa amwalikum. Allah doesn't care if you're rich or poor. Allah doesn't care about your economic status. Inna Allah yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Allah looks at your hearts, and all the hearts, I can guarantee you, we have cardiologists here who can affirm they're all the same color. They say we all bleed red. Allah looks at your hearts. What is the quality, the content of your heart? What is the moral fiber that describes your heart? That's what Allah considers. And your deeds. What are your deeds? People claiming superiority and their deeds are the vilest of deeds. Their hearts are the vilest of hearts, the most corrupted and polluted of hearts. There's no superiority there. It's our responsibility to let people know this, and not in some grand heroic way. We have to form a movement and get out in every wherever Allah has placed us. As some of these spiritual sages say, قُمْ حَيْثُ أَقَامَكَ اللَّهُ. Be where Allah has placed you. If Allah has placed you in a classroom, then you demonstrate this to your classmates. If Allah has placed you in a medical facility, you demonstrate this to your fellow doctors, nurses, whatever else is in a hospital, far more than doctors, administrators, physical assistants, whatever. You demonstrate it. If Allah has placed you to work in the context of your home, then in the PTA or wherever you might go and interact with other people, you demonstrate that through your actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the time is expiring, we'll close on this point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he demonstrated his anti-racism through his actions. And of course, his teachings. When he adopted a son before the practice was forbidden, we know the story of Zayd bin Haritha, who was sold into slavery, separated from his family, sold into slavery, ends up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you read Ibn Jawzi, Tanwir al-Ghabash, Fi Fadl al-Sudani wal-Habash, they mention him from being the Arab's two basic branches, Al-Arab al-Hamra wal-Arab al-Sawdan. He was from Al-Arab al-Sawdan. He was from the black Arabs. So this young black man, the Prophet adopted as his son. When he said, I won't go back with my family, once his family came to Mecca and found him, and he stood at the Kaaba, and he took the hand of that young black youth, and he said, Hadha Zayd bin Muhammad, was a black man. And then Zayd, after he divorced Zaynab bin Jahsh, he was married to Ayman, who was Baraka al-Habashiya, a black woman from Ethiopia. Ayman, Baraka al-Habashiya. And when his mother passed away, he said of this African woman, Hadha ummi ba'da ummi. This is my mother after my mother. But she took him under her care. She didn't nurse him, but she cared for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadha ummi ba'da ummi. This is my mother after my mother. And then those two, they got married. Ayman and Zayd bin Haritha, they married and they had a son, Usama bin Zayd, who the Prophet loved, and all of the sources describe a very dark complexion. And the Prophet loved that child like he didn't love anyone else. He became known as Hibbi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Dhar insulted Bilal radiallahu anhuma, yabna sawda, oh you son of a black woman, the Prophet rebuked him. And Timurun fika al-jahiliya, you're a man who has pre-Islamic ignorance in your heart. And Abu Dhar is related, put his face on the ground and told Bilal to step on his head. Of course, Bilal didn't do that. This is the Messenger of Allah. He went beyond that. When some of his dark-skinned companions complained, no one would marry them. He would send them to the homes of aristocratic Arabs and tell them to marry their daughters. And these people from Al-Arab Al-Hamra to this black man. He made policy in his everyday life. When one story, and many of these, when there was a black man who had the pox, and he had flaking pock marks that were scaling up, and he came into the majlis, and everywhere he sat, the person would get up and go sit somewhere else. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him forward. He said, come sit next to me. Come sit next to me. Even some narrations, so وَضَعْهُ عَلَى فَخِدِهِ, he put him and sat him on his thigh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our Prophet. And this is the foundation of Islamic anti-racism, which ultimately creates a family of faith where the black is not superior to the white, where the Arab is not superior to the non-Arab. Well, the only superiority is in virtue. May Allah bless us to embody that in whatever walk of life Allah places us in. Qum haythu aqamaka Allah, walakin kum musliman wa mu'minan wa mahsinan haythu aqamaka Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-mu'minin ya qawm astaghfirullah. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام
على رسول الله وآله وصحبه وملائكته إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم الحمد لله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful religion and any ugliness is from us. It's from us. And it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to be a beautiful embodiment of the religion to the best of our ability. The time has come to move beyond excuses. We don't have excuses. The time has come to courageously, again, in the context of our lives, our situation, to confront with our deen the issues of the day. And none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. But we have to challenge ourselves. We can't forever say Islam was this and that. I call people who do that. Oh, the Muslims did this and the Muslims did that. And grammar we have kana wa akhawatuha. Kana wa akhawatuha. You know, those grammatical points. I call those people kana wa akhwanuha. كان المسلمون كذا وكان المسلمون يبنون وكان المسلمون كذا وكذا وكذا وكذا. The Muslims used to do this and that. We want to be مازال وإخوانها. مازال. The Muslims are still building and the Muslims are still reforming and the Muslims are still bringing forth the best of human, moral, ethical, spiritual virtues for the benefit of humanity. مَازَالَ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا وَإِخْوَانُهَا. May Allah make it so. May Allah bless us like that young boy described by the Arab poet Laysa al-Fata من قال كان أبي ولكن الفتى من قال ها أنا ذا. A courageous young person isn't one who said my forefathers were this and that. كان أبي ولكن الفتى من قال ها أنا ذا. A courageous young person is one who stands up and says, here I am. It's time for Muslims to stand before the facade, the corruption, the racism, the injustice, and say, here we are, to the best of our ability. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us taysir. May Allah bless us with sincerity. Allahumma ghfir lil muslimin wal muslimat, wal mu'minin wal mu'minat.